Welcome to the Animation for Adults podcast. My name is Evan Vernon, here with another addition to our interview special. We have three guests today. If you watch Netflix, you've probably heard of its hit animated anthology, Love, Death, and Robots. Conceived by Tim Miller and David Fincher, the show features a collection of stunning, provocative films by directors from around the world. Adult animation tends to be undersung in today's age, but Love, Death, and Robots is bringing it to the fore. Volume 3 has just dropped and is available to stream globally on Netflix. Tim is with us today and has graciously agreed to talk about this new season. Tim is a director, producer, and screenwriter known best for his work on Deadpool, Terminator Dark Fate, and the Oscar-nominated short, Gopher Broke. Tim served as an executive producer for Volume 3 and is joined by the show's supervising director, Jennifer Yeh Nelson. Jennifer previously directed Pop Squad, a dystopian short featured in Love, Death, and Robots Volume 2. She is known best for her work on the Kung Fu Panda franchise, including Kung Fu Panda 2, which snagged an Oscar nomination for Best Animated Feature in 2011. Jennifer also holds two Annie Awards and is the first Asian-American woman to direct a major U.S. animation. We're thrilled to speak with these two today and get an inside look at Volume 3. Tim, if you don't mind, I'll start with you. As those who've watched the show know, Love, Death, and Robots is an anthology, and not only that, but an anthology framed around very adult themes. So what attracts you to that kind of storytelling?
Well, first and foremost, as an adult, I generally tend towards adult-like things. Now, I think even when I was a kid, I liked adult things. I like gritty, realistic, but fantastic stories. And I've always been drawn to that sort of storytelling. And for years in the animation industry anyway, it was so difficult to do that. And I, when Final Fantasy came out, I'm like, oh shit, that was our big shot. And it didn't do well. And it was really expensive. They'll never let us try again. But luckily, you know, the squirrels came back to the woods and we get to do things like Love, Death, and Robots. And then there's a lot of other great adult animation out there now. So I think that slowly it's coming around.
Yeah. Would you say that there's maybe a bit of nostalgia with it? If I'm not mistaken, I think you cited Heavy Metal as kind of an inspiration when the series was conceived.
Well, certainly nostalgia for me, because I love that stuff. And then you get sidetracked by life into doing other things. So coming back to it feels like coming back to my roots anyway. But luckily, there's a lot of people that feel similar about that. It's just a kindred spirit right here.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Tim. And Jennifer, again, pleasure to have you with us as well. You bring a wealth of experience to the show. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the second volume you've worked on. You have a strong background in family animation, and Love, Death, and Robot is really kind of a big 180 from that. Have you found that liberating in some way? I'd imagine you have a lot less restriction.
Absolutely liberating. I started off on Spawn, which was when people were trying to foray into adult animation way back in the day. And that was my last series. My second series is this one, in between I did family features, which was great. But my personal sensibility is adult animation. I grew up on anime. I never saw any limitations to the storytelling. And the frustration is that the animation industry in the US is mainly a family, or has been mainly a family entertainment area. And that's great, but that's a limitation. And as artists, you don't want limitations.
So you sold out, basically, is what you're saying in the middle years of your career. I think the Kung Fu Panda movies, okay, it's for a younger audience, but those fucking action scenes are awesome. I don't think you have to be a kid to like that.
I try to squeeze as much of that into this as pretty I could, yeah. Traumatizing the kids.
No, that's an astute observation. And we haven't seen your short. You were supervising director, but also directed your own short.
Wait until you do, you will be traumatized.
Yeah, well, I will look forward to seeing it, and maybe kind of that overlap with Kung Fu Panda, right? We're down
no
to
no overlap. It's polar opposite.
There's no overlap right. at all.
Yeah, sorry.
I know we just have about 1 minute left here, but I'll end with one question for both of you. What excites you the most about Volume 3?
There's amazing, beautiful art that took even longer to cook this time. So we have David Fincher, who did his animation debut. We have the return of Alberto Mielgo with Hibaro, and we have the return of three robots. So those are characters people can see again.
I think seeing David take his mastery of filmmaking to this new genre, this is going to be pretty spectacular for fans. I mean, he's a great director, and you can see that despite the medium, he does a great job with this piece of content. It's horrible, as you would expect, but beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you both. Tim, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations. And we look forward to seeing the show this Friday on Netflix. Appreciate
Thanks.
Your time.
Thanks. You too, Em. Take care.
Our next guest is Alberto Mielgo. Alberto is a Spanish director who made headlines when his poetic film, The Windshield Wiper, won Best Animated Short at the 2022 Academy Awards. Alberto also directed The Witness for Love, Death, and Robots Volume 1. The episode won 3 Primetime Emmys, as well as an Annie Award for its inventive visuals and story arc. Alberto's latest work, Jibaro, is the 12th and final episode of Love, Death, and Robots Volume 3. Set in a tropical wasteland, the film tells the story of a deaf conquistador, the titular Jibaro, and his encounter with a mystical siren. The siren's song has the power to drive men mad, but when her call fails to subdue Jibaro, she becomes drawn to him. What ensues is a deadly dance of greed and desire that will put both characters at risk. Today, Alberto has kindly set aside time to discuss this film and the inspiration behind it. Alberto, thanks for being here. Tell us about Jibaro. It's your second film for the Love, Death, and Robots series, but where did the story come from? What inspired it?
Well, both characters are very much myself in a way, both a girl and the guy. And it's very much a story about some sort of like what it can be a most toxic relationship that you can imagine between two predators. Very much the main inspiration, I could say, even though this kind of like came a little bit later, I don't know if you ever saw these videos of a crocodile fighting against a jaguar, and they're basically hunting each other for food. Sometimes the crocodile wins, sometimes it's the jaguar, but many times they end up both injured and very badly hurt. So that's very much what this film is about. It's not so much about hearing, it's about listening. You know, it's about ignoring all the red flags that they're being shown, and doesn't matter, you keep following it and going for whatever you desire. And in terms of the two characters, yes, both are myself, because, you know, when I am the one that perhaps goes for things that, you know, for the person that maybe doesn't treat me that well, or for the person that doesn't even hear me or what I have to say, I am also the person that perhaps goes for something that is beautiful, and I don't care perhaps what the other person have to say. And I am the person that goes for things that there's like obvious red flags everywhere, and doesn't matter, you go and do it. So I feel very close and identify with both characters.
Yeah, interesting. I love how you kind of identify this this sensory disconnect between Jibaro and the siren, how one can't speak and the other can't hear, and that kind of like seals their mutual destruction. The way that you make the film, Alberto, is very interesting. Like The Witness, Jibaro is very action-driven. There's no dialogue in this film, just really this kind of deadly dance, or even kind of ballet, I guess, or action ballet between the two. Can you tell us why you felt that form of storytelling was appropriate to this film?
Well, it kind of like happened organically. at first I was just thinking about doing some sort of like a little bit more normal way of storytelling. But then I realized that using dance, it will be very interesting because I feel that dancers, they have a way of communicate feelings that perhaps we need words, but perhaps dancers that are able to tell you without words. I've been always fascinated by dance, and I'm not a dancer, horrible dancer, by the way, but I'm always fascinated by body mechanics in general as an animator. So I wanted to explore some sort of like a ballet where, because the subject is so perhaps abstract, you know, talking about a toxic relationship, you can actually phrase it and you can word it, but I feel that explain it through dance, it was way more poetic and perhaps more impactful than if we actually have words explaining the whole thing.
Yeah, it lends itself to different interpretations, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing, Alberto. I know we're coming up close on time, but last question I'll ask is, what excites you most about Volume 3, just broadly?
Well, the most exciting thing for me generally on Love, Death and Robots is that every time that we release it, we open a new episode on adult animation. And adult animation maybe doesn't sound right. It's more into like cinema generally. Animation for adults has been happening forever, but not in the mainstream as we actually brought it in Love, Death and Robots. So I am very excited to actually show to people what we can do with this art, and very excited to see obviously the reaction, because I think that this third season especially is, you know, extremely strong, not only in terms of the look, like I think that the stories are like really, really sophisticated, and it's, you know, they are short. So it's difficult to tell short stories, but I think in this case, we nail it. So I'm very excited to see the reaction of the people.
Thank you so much, Alberto. You said it in your Oscar speech that animation is cinema, and you convey that quite beautifully through this film. So appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing the show this Friday. But congrats, Alberto. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Nice to see you again, by the way.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey there, guys, and thank you again for tuning into this episode of the AFA Podcast. If you want to stay up to date with the latest animation news, reviews, and animator interviews, check out the main website at animationforadults.com. Best way to keep an eye out for new and shiny stuff would be to follow us on our social media accounts at Twitter at AFA Blog, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, and Instagram. You're also welcome to go through our podcast catalog wherever you stream your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Acast. We are always looking for feedback, so feel free to leave us a review, rating, or even send us a voice message via our Anchor page. Or you can even drop us a line at podcasts@animationforadults.com. If you want to support the podcast and the website by proxy, then please zip over to our Patreon page and check out our rewards for becoming a patron. Or if you just want to do us a one-time donation, you can go check out our Ko-Fi page and buy us a virtual cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. And as always, I gotta give a shout-out to our friends at Animation Nights New York, a very special monthly screening event for some of the coolest animated short films and VR experiences from around the world, curated by industry experts and amazing staff who are striving to connect new talent through both live and virtual events. For more information, check them out at www.animationnights.com. Until next time, see you, Space Cowboy.